Welcome back, everyone. We are at the halfway point of Hybrid Cloud Workloads SQL. This is Module 3, Creating a Database in Azure Pack for Windows Server. Okay, so what we're going to look at in this particular module, firstly, we're going to give you a bit of an overview of Azure Pack for Windows Server, which is our hybrid cloud administration tool that looks very, very similar to the Microsoft Azure administration tool, but working on on-premises infrastructure through a service management architecture connection to your System Center 2012 environment, allowing us to do provisioning of such things as websites, SQL databases, as well as IaaS type virtual machine services. And we're going to concentrate today, obviously, on the SQL database section. So let's dive right in now and have a bit of a look at an overview of what the Azure Pack for Windows Server actually provides to us. So we're going to take a look at how enterprises and service providers can offer a consistent experience in this section, but I want to start with how Microsoft Azure works. Microsoft Azure subscribers, let's call them customers, access the public cloud through a website known as the Management or Customer Portal. Basically, this portal is the gateway to a wide range of IT services that are delivered on top of the compute, storage, and network resources found in Microsoft data centers around the world. Now, at each of these data centers, there are Microsoft IT administrators that manage resources, allocate those resources to the various services being provided, and manage customer subscriptions. And in addition, they bill customers for the services consumed. For the customer, everything's taken care of, so they get the services they need almost instantly. For instance, a developer could provision a test environment in minutes, a far shorter time than many face in their enterprise environments. Now let's take a look at how this translates to an enterprise or service provider data center. You can see it looks exactly the same. The only difference is that it's on-premises rather than in the cloud. Who are the customers? Well, if you're a service provider, they're the customers who pay you to provide IT services. If you're an enterprise, they're the employees who consume IT services. Within your data center, your administrator performs the exact same functions as in the Microsoft data centers that Microsoft Azure uses. He or she configures and defines the resources that support your customers and manages access to those services. Admins can also monitor services consumed, and this is particularly important because that way the service providers can price and bill, and enterprises can charge users, departments, or divisions, which is particularly important. Let's take a look at IT administrator tools, the same tools that Microsoft administrators have for Microsoft Azure. Just as customers get a consistent experience through the customer portal, IT administrators get their own dedicated portal as well, and the admin portal provides a range of management capabilities. Firstly, administrators can build what we call resource clouds, and resource clouds define the compute, storage, network, and all of the other resource clouds that provide the underpinning of each of the customer services. Administrators can automate services by creating PowerShell runbooks, and these PowerShell runbooks define a range of processes that should execute under specific circumstances. This is all about extreme automation, and automation reduces the need for human intervention, which can help drive down the cost of managing the cloud. Administrators can define pricing structures as well, associated with customer services, and this in turn can be used in billing. Administrators also get this concept of tenant management. And tenant management basically refers to the administrative tasks that are associated with managing customer user accounts and also reporting against that customer user account activity. Administrators can also establish what are called hosting plans. And hosting plans are various combinations of services, resource clouds, and quotas, which can then be made available to specific groups of customers who can subscribe to them. So how do you get from where you are now to this model? After all, it's a huge shift from traditional provisioning. Here's how we do it. The Microsoft Windows Azure Pack for Windows Server. Windows Azure Pack for Windows Server is a collection of Microsoft Azure technologies available to Microsoft customers at no additional cost for installation directly into your data center. It runs on top of Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2, and through the use of the Microsoft Azure technologies, enables you to offer a rich, self-service, multi-tenant cloud consistent with the public Microsoft Azure experience. Well, that's the long version. Here's the short one. Windows Azure Pack is a free download, and it effectively puts Azure inside your on-premises data center. So let's have a look at some of the customer-ready services that we can provide through the Windows Azure Pack for Windows Server. First thing we have, of course, is the customer portal. Now, the customer portal in Windows Azure is also known as the Developer Portal, and it's that familiar self-service interface that every subscriber uses to provision and manage services such as websites and virtual machines. So after you set up your tenants and after you set up your plans, what we tenant does is logs in and they see this management portal very similar to what they would see if they were in the public Microsoft Azure cloud. Underlying the management portal is the server management or service management API. The service management API is an OData REST API, and this provides access to the underlying services and enables automation and replacement of the supply management portal, opening up the possibility of integrating with existing portals that may already be used, opening up the possibility of using technology from partners such as Parallels, for instance. The API also enables integration of additional service modules and other solutions such as customer billing. The Service Management API, as I said before, is an extensible REST-based API that will enable our enterprises and service providers to integrate their existing systems and tools with these new services. And key to enabling that enterprise adoption is obviously integration with the portal and the API with Active Directory. We have the Website Service. The Website Service provides a high-density, multi-tenant web hosting service, which is one of the most fundamental services that any service provider needs to provide and at the lowest cost possible. A broad range of programming languages and template web applications is also supported, as well as integration with developer tools and popular source control repositories. Websites enables a high-density, secure web hosting offering for service providers and enterprise IT alike. We have our virtual machine service, and the virtual machine service enables self-service provisioning of IaaS, otherwise known as Infrastructure as a Service, or IaaS. These capabilities enable a quality, self-service experience to provision and manage our VMs. And this is equivalent to renting a virtual server on which the tenant can install their own operating system and administer the server themselves. This includes a standardized VM gallery for consistent workload deployment and hosting. We deliver a consistent gallery of virtual machine templates, whether they're single VM or multi-VM tiers for Windows Server and Microsoft Azure environments. The goal here is to enable uniform IaaS services across these contacts, including consistent VM lifecycle management from a provisioning and operations standpoint. We have the Service Bus service. The Service Bus service is a technology to enable messages to be passed between applications where a synchronous handoff is not possible, but the sender needs assurance that the message will reach the recipient eventually. Applications may be within the same cloud, across clouds, clouds and devices, or many other supported scenarios. The Service Bus service supports a one-to-one queue and a publish, subscribe, many-to-many topic-based service. We have virtual networks, which enable the creation of tenant-specific IP address schemes independent of the actual IP infrastructure on which it depends. This means that tenant VMs can be migrated to the cloud without the need to reconfigure IP address schemes or the risk of colliding with other tenants' IP addresses and security concerns wherein. And what we're basing this on at the end of the day is Windows Network Virtualization running underneath in Hyper-V. Finally, we have the one we're most interested in today, and that's database. The Microsoft Azure pack also supports SQL and MySQL servers in a database as a service model for tenants, and this capability is available to web applications in the website service or more generally to applications. So let's drill a little deeper into database as a service and what we can provide here. Now, as we go through these particular slides, you'll see that things look very, very similar to the demonstration you saw in the previous module where we went into Microsoft Azure and set up a database as a service. Now, you did watch that last module, I do hope. I hope you're not just jumping into module 3 as your first module because that would be kind of strange. In any case, database as a service, what do we get inside the Microsoft Azure pack for Windows Server? Firstly, we get the scale and functionality of an enterprise data center with high availability, the familiar development tools, and that relational data model you expect. Why do we get this? Because ultimately, underneath, we're provisioning databases inside SQL servers running in your on-premises data center. Configuring these databases is as simple as you would expect and we're used to inside the Microsoft Azure admin portal. So again, what we'll do here is we'll choose to create a new database as a service. We'll put in our setup information, such as our name, admin name, and password. And then afterwards, we can start looking at things like the connection strings that we're going to need to use. We can do resizing of this database as and when necessary. And we can also do similar type scenarios for MySQL as well. So when we set up a MySQL database, again, we give the database a name, we set up the admin name and password, and again, from ongoing sections there, we can start playing around with things like viewing the connection strings and changing the passwords. Now, when it comes to actually setting these up, if you're setting up support for SQL Server, you will need SQL Server 2008 SP3, SQL Server 2008 R2 SP2, or SQL Server 2012 SP1, or SQL Server 2014. This is a slightly older slide. If we're dealing with MySQL, we support MySQL Windows 5.1 or higher, or Linux variants of the same. What we simply do is set up and configure our SQL Server and MySQL resource providers inside the admin portal for the Windows Azure pack. And then we simply configure those for tenant use. All right, so what we might do now is jump into a bit of a demo and have a look at how similar this experience is in the Windows Azure pack when compared to the Microsoft Azure admin portal. All right, well, here we are in my admin portal for my Windows Azure pack connected to the Contoso network. As you can see here, it looks very, very similar to the Microsoft Azure Administration Console. But if you look down the left-hand side there, you'll see that things are a little bit different, but there's not quite as many options available to us on our on-premises environment as there are in our Microsoft Azure environment. Now, what we're interested in doing today is creating ourselves a database as a service through our on-premises infrastructure. Now, the first thing I'm interested in is going and creating a SQL Server database. You can see here that I'm looking at my all items right now, and I've got a number of things here. I have some standalone websites, I have a virtual network, I have a SQL Server database there already, but I want to create a new one, so I'll go into my SQL Server databases like so. I'll choose New. In this time, I'll choose SQL Server databases as distinct from what we see inside the Microsoft Azure portal where we go into data services. I'll choose Create Database, and now I need to give the database a name. We'll call it Contoso Dev SQL. We'll choose Next, and now we need to put in our admin name as well as our password. Now, as you'll recall from the previous module, we need to put in an admin name here, which is effectively a system administrator utilizing SQL authentication back to that particular database, and we're putting in a strong password. We'll click Next. And as you can see, that has now created our new database. So I'll select that database and notice down the bottom here, we have a few slightly different icons to what we would see inside Microsoft Azure. I'm going to view info, and viewing the info shows me the username, the server name in the back end that I'm connecting to, as well as the all important connection string that I'm going to need to use in whatever application I'm developing to connect to this particular database. So we'll close that. Now I've decided that, well, this is a 1 gig database, you know, needs to be a little bit bigger. So what I'm going to do is resize that now. And as you can see, I have a slider button here, which will allow me to resize my database as and when I need. So as you can see, very, very similar to what we have available to us inside the Windows Azure Administration Console connecting to the public cloud. Now, when we come back into our next module, we'll be talking a little bit more about how we can monitor this sort of stuff, so that'll be even more exciting. All right, so back to our presentation. Okay, so welcome back, and as you can see now, our resources slide, you must be very familiar with this if you've been watching any of my MVA courses. TechNet Evaluation Center there for your evals whenever you need them. TechNet Virtual Labs, if you want to have a bit of a play around with Database as a Service on the Azure pack, jump in there. You'll actually see a link to that particular lab in the module page for this particular module on the website. And then finally, don't go away from MVA. Keep taking those courses. Keep getting those points. You've got to love those points. You might be well on your way to one of those little gold cups by now. I wish I was. All right, well, thanks very much for listening. That was Module 3. We're going to be right back with Module 4. See you soon.